The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Well, I'm joined by Kevin Doyle, Executive Editor of The Independent, to look through the Sunday newspapers. And Kevin, I suppose it's fair to say there is one picture on the front of most of the newspapers that we cannot avoid, and it brings joy to the heart.
It's good. It's a rare day, Pat, nowadays, because the papers can be very grim, and I know we're going to talk about some grim things, but Kate O'Connor is absolutely everywhere, and why wouldn't she be? Because it was absolutely fantastic tonight. And we've been spoiled this week, Pat, because it's her today. We've had swimmers on front pages this week. We've had Rashid Adeleke, Mark English. We've never had a time like it in athletics, in my memory at least. For kids nowadays, they must think this is how it is.
This is how it is. And her joy was palpable on the television screens, as indeed was Andrew Coskren, who got bronze in the 1500.
Because everything is relative, isn't it? His bronze was just as good to him at the stage he's at in his career as Kate's gold.
And the manner of his winning, he came from seventh with 200 metres to go.
He just blasted past and suddenly he there he was.
It's fantastic. It's, anyway, other front page news, demand for solar panels doubles as energy price hikes loom. That's in The Independent. Revealed higher earners set for €2,000 tax boost in budget. That's across the Sunday Business Post and the Irish Mail on Sunday. Christy Kinahan is next, and that is a theme we will be addressing. The Sunday Times, minister to free up jails despite the chalk furore, and Kinahan Jr. becomes next focus for Gardaí. Now, we promised we'd also talk about breaking news and the news again overnight, another set of fatalities.
This is horrific, Pat, and I think as the day goes on, we're going to learn more details about it, which is going to make this story perhaps even worse. But I can probably give you actually a little bit more than was in your news headlines there, because my colleague Robin Schiller in The Independent has been working on this since the early hours this morning. So what we know is at this point that three young women in their 20s and 30s are in hospital, two of them in a critical condition, one of them in a serious condition, and a child has been brought to Temple Street in a serious condition. They were in one car travelling around 3 a.m. this morning on the M9. They were heading for Dublin Airport, we understand.
Off on holiday, one presumes.
One presumes. And they met a car coming the opposite direction on the motorway, so the way it shouldn't have been going, going southbound. We don't know exactly how many people were in that car, but we understand that multiple occupants of that car have been killed, and I'm sure Gardaí will release more details of that later. But this all happened near Castledermot, County Kildare, in the M9 around 3 a.m. this morning. So that road is obviously closed. There's a massive investigation. We also know that the car which was travelling the wrong way on the motorway did come into contact with Gardaí before that. So the Garda Ombudsman will now be getting involved in this as well.
So the question of this car was definitely going the wrong way on the motorway. And this is echoes of something that happened fairly recently as well.
Well, it's only last week that nine people were hospitalised just on the South Dublin and the M50, when one car with a young man was coming off the M50 on the slip road, and a car coming the wrong way smashed into him pretty much head on. And there was eight teenagers in that car, and all of them were taken to hospital in different conditions. Nobody died, thankfully, in that incident. But obviously, there's a big investigation. And it speaks to a wider thing, Pat. I'm going to stress, we don't know the full circumstances of this morning yet. We'll figure that out during the day. But there is something, and Gardaí have been talking about it in the last few days, there is something happening at the moment where cars are being stolen, brought for joyrides. And there's a social media element to this, that some of this has been filmed for TikTok and wherever else. But there is certainly a lawlessness. It's something that Brenda Power is touching on in her column in the Sunday Independent today, talking about that M50 crash. There was a Garda car rammed during the week as well, two Gardaí seriously injured after that. And there is something happening out there. She's arguing that juvenile system has failed. There's no punishment. There's no fear for these people. But she's also making the point that if your 13-year-old is out at 3 a.m. in the morning, well, who's responsible for that?
Responsible. Just looking at the bold stats in the last 30 days, excluding what may have happened overnight in terms of fatalities, 19 people died on our roads.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this now since probably the middle of last year, because the trend has been going one direction. We have safer roads, safer cars, and yet the numbers of fatalities is going up. So something is happening out there. Something is not working. And you kind of do have to look back at the minister, the RSA. What are they doing about it?
Mm. And the other question, if some of this bad behaviour on the roads, which leads to fatalities and sometimes does not, but leads to the ramming of cars, I mean, is this fueled by social media?
There definitely seems to be an element, and talking anecdotally, that seems to be a big part of it, that people are stealing the cars. They want to make videos of themselves behaving recklessly because I presume they think it's great crack. And perhaps if you know, we were all teenagers once, Pat, and we had different degrees of this, but perhaps there is that lack of understanding of just how dangerous it is getting behind the wheel of a car.
And how easily are these cars stolen, which is another perplexing thing, because the modern car, now how old the cars involved in these crashes are, I don't know, but the modern car is supposed to be relatively theft-proof, except for the most sophisticated thieves.
Yeah, well, the gang we know behind some of this activity, which have a lot of very young men in the gang, if you like, is called the Lucky Dip Gang, and they go around housing estates, trying doors, maybe a door is open, someone's left a key in a porch, something, and if you try enough, somewhere along the line, you'll get lucky. And you'll get one. And you see that I see it in my own residence group WhatsApp the whole time. There's young lads out tonight trying doors. It's a thing.
It's a thing. All right, let's move on to other stories. The Chalk story is one that won't go away. Now, this is about the early release of Alison Chalk, who probably should have spent up to a year behind bars. But there was an early release involved in this. And the idea of early release is generally where it's thought that they are unlikely to re-offend. Isn't that the theory?
Yeah, and there's always an element of early release. Sometimes people don't fully understand the system, that if you say you're getting a year, you generally get up to a third of that off anyway, so long as you behave yourself when you're in there. But that's probably reasonable. It's an incentive not to be causing trouble behind bars. But I think there was a lot of shock during the week when it emerged that after 28 days, Alison Chalk walked out again. And the strange thing is, a lot of people think this is South Dublin entitlement, call it what you want, you know, lots of money. She's not actually particularly special. This seems to be happening a lot for all type of people, all types of criminals. I mean, she is a violent criminal. We can call her that because that's what the court decided she was. Fraudsters, others have got the same treatment. And it's under a community return program, so they're expected to clean some graffiti or help out in a community event or whatever. The question I think people have is whether this is because it's good 28 days and she can go back and do community, or is it because the prison service can't cope and therefore the judges are actually wasting their time when they decide that the crime needs a punishment and that punishment is a year or 2 years or whatever it is. And actually this is just a roundabout way of emptying out the prisons again.
And the question is, given the furore about the early release of Alison Chalk, whether or not the headline about the minister wanting to release more women or intending to release is kind of trying to spare his blushes a bit?
A little bit of nothing to see here, because we think this is a good
thing.
We
do this all the time.
It's a good thing. So there has been this scheme. The criteria has been widened. So it used to be prisoners with sentences of up to 18 months. Now it's 24 months can qualify for this scheme where they get out early. Like Limerick Women's Prison is at 161% capacity. So people sleeping on the floor, basically on mattresses there. It's not fit for purpose, even though it's a state-of-the-art prison. It just can't cope with the numbers. They made it too small. You're right, Pat. 28 days of a year, I think to most people, seems very, very,
very
light. Little.
Very light. And when you consider, you know, the behaviour of the person, which it might be seen out of character, or certainly out of character with her background, and that's all the more grievous in a way.
Yeah, because
like if someone is brought up in misery and beaten up by their parents and become delinquent because of their background, and then they go and do something violent to somebody, it's kind of not forgivable, but understandable.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we can argue some people's mitigation is other people's reason, but I think this particularly struck a chord because obviously this case was so high profile. People will now be looking at our brother Bill, who's in jail as well. He got a longer sentence. When will he get out? Will he come out shorter? And, you know, we could sit here all morning, Pat, and talk about the details in that story that Jennifer Bray has about the work that's going on, the committee that looks at this, the fact that this is kind of a plan. It's not happening by accident. And you still won't convince people that there isn't a little bit of entitlement here, that that Alison Chalk got out that quickly.
Now, other stories. The Healy Ray is never far from the news pages.
No, and they've taken part in a new documentary, which I think people are going to find fascinating, because it started filming around 2 years ago, before the great big fallout that has happened this year. So it seems to have a good insight into what's happening between the brothers, which has not, certainly not from the quotes in some of the papers today, been reconciled at all. Scud missile is one of the phrases used for how that interview that Danny famously did, saying that Harris and Martin had to step out of the way of their parties. And funny enough, there's a separate quote. So Michael uses the phrase "good missile," and somewhere else Danny is quoted as saying about this war, you know, you're calling it a war, but there's no missiles, there's no bombs going off. So you can see even there how divergent the views are, but absolutely no sign of reconciliation.
And according to the reports, the family are divided. You know, there are people taking sides, I suppose, predictably enough.
Well, yeah, the children are siding with their own fathers in this, and you have to remember that there is obviously a dynasty there, and a dynasty that would like to continue beyond Michael and Danny. So there will be presumably jockeying for position for who gets on future Dáil tickets as well.
A couple of money stories. President Connolly has yet to decide on her salary donation, 10 months after making the pledge that she would donate part of her salary to whatever. Yeah. That's a little detail.
10 months into the job, it's taken her a while to figure it out, hasn't it? 350,000 is the salary.
Another negative story about her yesterday, where she was greeting someone from the Falls Road who was involved in
the murder of Anne Travers' sister. Exactly. And Anne Travers has taken great exception to the fact that President Connolly did that. President Connolly was asked for a comment about that well over a week ago and has said nothing publicly, which is astonishing.
On money again, 42.2 million in unpaid derelict levies written off. Now, we'll talk about that in the context of the budget, because lots of budget talk. If you can afford to just write off 42.2 million, how well are they all looking after the taxes they gather?
Well, I think that is the question. And we're seeing the, I suppose, that the ministers, each department tends to start doing a bit of negotiation by newspaper at this time of year. And we're already seeing a lot of focus around that. There is definitely going to be questions about spending, because we're going to spend an extra 7 billion next year. And you're kind of going, where do we rein it in? There is this sense that there's more money. Next year's budget's going to be bigger. Next year's budget's going to be bigger. Now, Pat, I work in a newsroom. You work in a newsroom. We spend every year going, right, the budget's contracting by this much. What do I have to reduce? What do I have to cut back? What do I have to make savings on? And ministers don't seem to have that same problem that every house in the country is doing at the moment, which is
cut back,
because this is more expensive and that's more expensive. So some of that jockeying seems to be very much around the energy space. Obviously, the next fuel hike is due on September 1st, which is going to push diesel over €2. That's going to be a big flashpoint now for the next 2 weeks. And then beyond that, I think we're going to hear, we'll sort it out in the budget.
I mean, it looks as if the Iranians are not for doing a deal in advance of the midterms.
No.
So they want to keep the war going, discomfort Donald Trump, et cetera, in the hope that things will change.
But Trump started a war and he cannot figure out how to end it. And that's his problem. But it's all our problem. The Iranians have strategically played this very well, but that's very bad for all of us. So while some people out there might think, good enough for Trump, he brought it on himself. Actually, if you sit back and look at this, not just globally, but to your own house and your own car and the winter coming, it's a really bad thing, and it would be better if they can find some sort of resolution.
And with a stroke of a pen, he's going to denote the Straits of Hormuz as an American territory.
Yeah, that's grand. So like that doesn't matter.
The Gulf of America.
It doesn't matter if the Iranians have their gunboats and their mines planted in the Straits. That doesn't matter a fig.
There are all sorts of interesting little stories. A secondary school's hit by a deficit of teachers. That's in the Sunday Times. But I suppose let's finish on a kind of a more cheerful note. The Rose of Tralee is upon us once again.
The Rose of Tralee, that usual thing that fills this little bit of silly season where we, every year we debate, is it outdated or is it not? So Dáithí O'Shea is in the papers today saying, it's not the Tradwife competition. That's the latest version of defending the Rose of Tralee. He's 16 years doing it, Pat, which I was, that's a long stint, isn't it?
It certainly is.
It's the one gig you never took.
Never took, never took that gig. It's interesting, though, that the Mail, I think, has a front page line about that Catherine Thomas is going to be sharing a bed with Dahi.
A very male, provocative.
So you flick to page 15 and you realise Catherine is going to be doing her radio programme from the bedroom, and one of those participating will, of course, be the aforementioned.
Yeah, they're having breakfast in the bedroom, not more than that. But to be honest, I think it's probably reached the point where if people want to take part in it, let them off. If people want to watch it, let them off. If you want to watch the athletics or the swimming or whatever might be else on, go for that.
Very good. Kevin Doyle, Executive Editor of The Independent, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Summer Cash Machine.
I'm sure Evelyn and her family are still celebrating last week's huge win, but the winning will be even bigger next Friday when the biggest cash prize ever on Irish radio, the bumper sum of €311,000, will be available for a guaranteed winner. That's just in 5 days' time, Friday the 21st of August. What a brilliant way to round off the summer if you're the winner. To enter, text the word play to 57557 or alternatively enter online at newstalk.com/cash machine where you'll also find our terms and conditions. The cost, €2.50 plus any network charges, over 18s only, and you're playing across the Go Ahead network of stations. After 3 on Friday, during Moncrief, we'll make the call. If it happens to be to your phone, you must answer within 5 rings, tell us the amount in the machine, and then we'll give you the money. And if you don't answer, we keep calling until we find our next Evelyn. Remember what's in the machine, €311,000, and it's tax-free. Text play to 57557. Now, comments coming in. Garda won't and can't chase cars going the wrong way on a motorway. So why would the culprits, I suppose, why would they not use that road to escape from the Garda? That's from Lar in Dublin. Many of those cars are Japanese imports without security features, says another. Garda don't have pursuit training for fear of being sued by the kids or their parents. That's signed Only in Ireland. I was going to Dublin last Thursday and a BMW passed me at about 200 kilometres an hour, and 2 minutes later a Hyundai came behind it giving chase. Was that a Garda Hyundai? Possibly so. A minute later the Hyundai was pulled in on the side of the road with smoke everywhere. I can only assume that the engine blew. It was embarrassing. The Garda are not equipped to catch these people. Full stop. I don't know, Kevin, whether you're ever in Germany and you see the police cars and their Porsches.
Yeah,
you know,
imagine that debate when the government say they're going to spend €200,000 on a car, but maybe we need some of them.
All right, Kevin, once again, thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
With Timber Living Log Cabins.